Hi, this is Brad from the Barr Brothers, and you're listening to CJLO Montreal.
It's time to start your fun day with an hour of the Gigi Brown Experience.
Sunday morning brings the dawn in.
Good morning, Montreal. Welcome back to the Gigi Brown Experience. It is a gorgeous day out. It's very, very cold, but the snow is very nice and it looks like a winter wonderland. And I'm honestly here for the snow. Yesterday, a lot of stuff happened yesterday. Yesterday was an amazing day. We had our annual winter carnival at Benny and it was so, so great. So if anyone is listening and they went out, thank you so much for coming out and just like making yesterday such a success. And then also, it was my birthday yesterday, so today is the first episode where I am a 17-year-old DJ. And it was such an amazing day. My absolute best friend, she's incredible. She threw together a surprise birthday party, like really last minute, and it was so special. And my boyfriend did a really, really good job of trying to keep me away, but I was determined to go home. And so I kind of ruined the surprise, but it was so sweet. So like, Ellie, I love you so much. Thank you so, so much for making yesterday just such a great day. But yeah, so it's just been a special weekend all around because today is a very, very special episode because I'm going to be airing the interview that I did with 2-time Juno Award winning artist Ison Abbey. It was so great. I got to speak with him a couple weeks ago before his tour here in Canada. He's very, very kind. I'm such a big fan. He's really great. So I'm going to play Edge of the Earth, which is his new single that came out in January. I've already played it a bunch on the show, but it's amazing. Can't hurt to play it one more time. And then we're just going to go straight into the interview where we talked about his tour, his music, his headlining act. And it's going to be really great. So here's Edge of the Earth. I'll talk to you later. I hope you all enjoy the incredible conversation I had. Here's Edge of the Earth by Ison Abbey right here on the Gigi Brown Experience, CJLO 690 AM.
The echoes of you, they don't reach over here. The further I get, they all disappear. There's distance between who I was and them now. No walking in circles or turning around. Now it feels like in a clear mind. I don't care either way, won't go back to their place for the first time. Walking to the edge of the earth and I still live. Promises we tried to keep. Kept waiting and waiting for my heart to stop. It kept beating so long I forgot. Now it feels like in a clear mind. I don't care either way, won't go back to that place for the first time. Walking to the edge of the earth and I still live. But I still live in thought of you. Now the stranger in no window seat, the humming words on a crowded street. Walking to the edge of the earth and I still haven't thought of you. Walking to the edge of the earth, but I still haven't thought of you.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
I just want to say I am so incredibly excited to be sitting here talking to you. I learned about you a few years ago in my music class, and then I saw you at the Jazz Fest, and since then I have not been able to see you for like whatever reason. I had tickets to go see you for Alison Russell, and then I couldn't go. Yeah, I'm very excited to be sitting here talking to you today.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be on the show.
Especially considering that you're about to go on your own tour. That's incredibly exciting. How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I guess in ways it doesn't feel like it because like I feel like I've played so many shows
in the last
few years. But it is though, because it is like the first time I'm doing like a bunch of, you know, consecutive dates and I'm able to kind of put together a show in a space and a room that is kind of like completely my own. So yeah, like I'm super excited to finally be doing this. Yeah.
Yeah. Are the nerves different this time around because like it's your tour compared to opening for others?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. There's definitely always like a little more responsibility to it. Like when you're opening, obviously like best foot forward when you're opening and stuff, but like there is like a little bit of calmness to that sort of thing because you get to show up and do this little set and then just kind of enjoy it, you know? Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm excited by the places we're playing and the way we've set up, like playing the shows with the, kind of these different openers and some excited. Yeah.
Is there a venue you're most looking forward to performing in?
Ooh, man, that is a tough one, actually.
I won't be offended if it's not the Studio TD here in Montreal. It's fine if it's somewhere else.
Actually, that one is, I'm excited about that one too.
Yeah.
Like Studio TD and Access, like they both have these really nice, kind of like spacious stages, and sure. But also like the sound system is super awesome. So, yeah, it's just, I'm excited to have really massive sound, which these venues are definitely like so capable of doing. Because, yeah, the Studio TD, I feel like, has been the place I've gone to the last three times I've been to Montreal. And it's always been solo though as well. Like for my performance at least. Anyways, it's like opening for Dan and then opening for Allison and so this is actually the first time I'm gonna play that stage with a band, which is kind of exciting.
Is it reassuring almost to like go to a venue that you've already been to?
Yeah, there's definitely I wonder if it's going to be the same people the last few times there, but yeah definitely, like I feel like I know that space, I know what I'm walking into, so yeah, there's pros and cons, but I definitely, yeah, it'll be a comfortable place to play.
Nice. Now you've put a call out for openers, like Indigenous artists to open for you on the tour. Have you had many people contacting you? Do you have them all set up?
Oh yeah. I've already contacted like a ton of people. There are some places that were a bit kind of, I'd say, more difficult to find those specific applications because we did like put a specific call out for like kind of local First Nations artists, which sometimes like in the more regional areas is a bit harder to do. Like for example, I will be playing actually Red Lake and Geraldton solo. They're pretty far northern areas, and there were some artists that were so down to play those shows, but like, it's such a far drive and it's in winter. So like me, like I didn't really feel too comfortable with asking someone to go that far in unknown road conditions. Like,
yeah,
I'll be traversing in like this big like truck. Right. So like, but I don't want somebody like, I don't know, maybe they're in a car and you know, maybe they're having all season tires. And it's like, for some people, it's like 7-hour drive. Stuff like that, but yeah, aside from that, like some places though, it's been the complete opposite where it's like, you know, Toronto, it was like, because it's such a metropolis and so many people go there to play music, like right. It was so difficult to kind of go through like so many applications and be like, oh, like everybody's so good, like how do I decide?
Yeah.
You know, like definitely goes both ways. So I'm excited to like keep announcing people. And it's been so sweet and it's been so nice to like I've been doing a thing where I've been like FaceTiming people and our video calling people and just being like, hey, would you like to open? And like, it's been really exciting for me because people are really excited. I mean, I hope they're excited.
What are the reactions like?
Oh, so good. So good. like I think it would be really good for us just to connect and stuff. And some people I've met before and some people I haven't met. And it's the reactions have been so sweet, like excitement. I know sometimes too it's just like, all right, pack your bags, you're going to your hometown.
Yeah.
But it's more about the connection and building those relationships and just being able to like share space. And like, I'm so excited to like share my audience and be like, oh, you should check out these like really sick artists. Like, they're so good. And yeah, it's been just all around like a really sweet experience.
And I imagine that it's really like opening the door for a lot of these young musicians. Who opened that door for you?
Definitely. It was definitely like Shoshana Kish and Amanda Ram, like the two women who founded Ishkade Records, like a female and an indigenous owned record label. So it's like, you know, continuing to blaze that trail and continuing to kind of keep doors open, you know, especially in our current climate. You know, I think that's it's so important. This is something I was always kind of wanting to kind of do for this tour. And then I think it was just like, I was reminded of just that, like reflecting on the year. And there was this moment in the Junos where like I went to accept that second award. And then like I had asked all the Indigenous artists to kind of stand up and to be seen. And because it was the most Indigenous artists that were ever kind of nominated for awards at the Junos. And like, so to kind of see so many people stand up and across so many different genres, it was just like a wild and beautiful thing to see. And I feel like my grandfather like also kind of opened the door for me, you know, just by being so open and allowing me to share his stories and like you know, that had such a far reaching impact. And one of the last things he kind of taught me before he, you know, he moved on, was to do the things that you say you're going to do.
Yeah, for sure.
I remember like when I showed up and, you know, it was his final days. He's just like, oh, what are you doing here? I was coming to be here with you. And he's just like, oh, like, why? Like, don't you, I thought you were playing shows. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's okay. Like I postponed or canceled. Like I can always get more shows. It's okay. It's okay. And then he was just like, yeah, he's just like, you know, do the things you say you're going to do. And I just really kind of reflected on that and reflected at that moment of the Junos where I asked them to stand up. And I mentioned, I was like, oh yeah, like it was Indigenous women who opened up the door for me. So I'm going to kind of take the hinges off that door and take you all with me. So like, I was reminded by that and reminded by my grandfather saying, do the things you say you're going to do.
Now, going back to your grandfather, I only learned recently that the interludes on Watin were recordings from your phone calls with him. That's pretty like a special moment you got to share with all of us.
Yeah, it was a really special moment I got to have.
How were you able to like choose the clips that you shared on the album? Because I imagine that there would have been hours of conversations to go through. Was your grandfather involved in that process at all?
No, I kind of chose them based on how the first song happened, where it was just like, I was just listening. I would just listen. And it was like, until something struck me, until something moved me, until something sparked something where I just like, okay, I will start writing to this piece. I will start writing to this sentence or this clip of the conversation, or this something that really kind of called out to me. And then I'd start writing, and sometimes a song would form, and sometimes maybe I'd reach kind of a dead end with kind of my own writing on it, and then move on. But yeah, I would just kind of listen and wait until something kind of stopped me in my tracks and then told me I need to try and write about this. So
yeah, I do have to say your songwriting is incredible across like everything. Watin was just like incredible. And then there's a line on Somebody Else from the Here and Now EP that always like strikes me. And it's, does he know you like I know you, like the right side of the bed? And it's such a simple phrase, but it's so incredibly poetic. And I was wondering, like, do these lines just come to you, like, when you're listening to other music, when you're traveling? What's your songwriting process?
Yeah, that, you know what's surprising? That what that one, as simple as it is, like, it was one of those things where, like, did just sit there and kind of think about it. Because, like, I always, like, struggle sometimes to kind of detail, like, how personal I get sometimes. Like, that was a very specific thing. And it was, like, so simple, but, like, I think kind of, like, putting stuff in there that is just very, like very much just a real thing that is or was or that had happened or something, right? So it was, like, a simple thing, but, like, an authentic thing and just, yeah, something that really kind of shares a piece of that story that you're trying to tell.
And how do you find those moments of, like, authenticity?
Oh, by just doing the work. Honestly, it's wild because, like, you'll write so many songs before you find someone that you're like, this is the one. This might sound like a little not as cool, but, like, I try to keep trying to do songwriting as almost as if it's, like, a job.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I guess it is, but so I'm treating it as it should be treated. But no, so many times, like, for a while, I'd be like, I'm just gonna wait until the inspiration hits me, and right. Then, like, you know, a month will go by. I'm like, oh well. So, like, I've now I've gone to the thing of just being like, okay, if it's Monday to Friday, and if I'm not on the road, or if I'm not, like, in studio, or if I'm not doing something, like, I will, you know, set aside a bunch of time to go and songwrite and to have, yeah, to songwrite, to, like, play, to try and make a song. Sometimes it definitely feels a bit forced, but you just kind of work through that and, like, get over that and just be creative, and, like, maybe it isn't the best song, or maybe it is, you know, but it's just a matter of putting in the time, putting in the work, and just kind of working that songwriting muscle as well.
Yeah, that's super important. Now, do you find that you write your lyrics first, or, like, the music for the song first, or is it just kind of, like, all at the same time?
It's interesting. I think generally, like, obviously I feel like Wotton was a combination of both, but generally I do start with music first.
Mm.
I have this little PA system at home, and I'll turn it on, and I have, like, a lot of fun messing around with, like, different sounds and different textures. And so, like, I got really kind of, like, obsessed with guitar pedals during the pandemic. Like, I bought one, and I bought two, and it becomes a slippery slope. But, like, yeah, there's just so many beautiful and interesting tones you can get with like different kinds of, like, reverbs and octavers and delays and even vocal effects, where you can, like, put on a bunch of reverb so you feel like, you know, in this warm KV reverb and safe to make all these weird sounds. But yeah, and then I just start kind of singing and playing until something feels right, and then I kind of go from there. And yeah, and, like, obviously the tone of the song will always kind of determine where I'm going to start writing from. It's super weird to, yeah, chicken before the egg or something, but yeah, I'm really inspired by tones.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, you're self-taught on the guitar, right?
Yeah.
That's incredible. You are an incredible guitarist. And on Edge of the Earth, which you just released, honestly, the guitar intro at the beginning is probably my favorite part of that song. Did you have anyone around you growing up who knew how to play the guitar?
Yeah. So my brother will always kind of be like, take credit for me as a musician, which is just, like, I think it's just a sibling thing as well. But yeah. Honestly, he would jam, and then he, when he moved to the city, he kind of left one of his guitars behind, and then ended up kind of just stealing it. But yeah, I think definitely my brother played, and I definitely have to give them credit for leaving me the tools to kind of start playing myself.
That's awesome. Now, who would you say is the greatest guitarist of all time?
Ooh. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a hard question.
It's so difficult to think about. And you know, there's obviously like the legends, Van Halen and Jimi Hendrix and Eric Mongrain, or and even like the newer tappy people that like I learned from, like Eric Mongrain, Khaki King, Don Ross, and those guys. But there's like so many like new cats too that are just like, you know, became super massive on social media. Like, I'm gonna butcher his name, but this is on the tip of my tongue. But another guy too is like that, the guitar player from Polyphia. The way they play is so seamless, and it's so intricate, and it's so complicated, and they do it with such ease. Like, I just will watch their videos on social media, and he'll just be like chilling with a tea and me doing this crazy thing, and then he's like, okay, you know what, I've decided I want to teach you guys how to play this song, and he slows it down by like four times or something, and it's still so hard. Like, and he's like just switching up speed, switching up timing, switching up keys, like it's wild. Yeah.
Now, kind of going back to Edge of the Earth, when you released it, you posted on Instagram saying that one of your goals is to make timeless music. What makes music timeless for you?
Man, that's a difficult one, actually. I think it's just like when I hear them, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, that's it. That's a classic. Like, there's people like Chris Stapleton and like even like the Teskey Brothers, which I guess the Teskey Brothers, maybe it does come from a specific era, but there's just like a specific song that's just so well-rounded and isn't, it's just like, yeah, this is like a song that I'm going to listen to in 20 years and it's still going to have the same feel and impact it did when I listened to it for the first time. You know, that's such a good question. That's something I'm going to definitely meditate on some more, because like, yeah, I think digging deep into that will be what helps work towards making music like that.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Now, I do have to ask, the name of your tour, the Now and Then Tour, is there a meaning behind that? Is that like a title of an upcoming album we can be expecting?
You know, it was kind of a tease a little bit. it was like, you know, it's a play on here and now, but it was also about talking about now and then. So like, honoring songs past, honoring songs like the Want Now album, the Here Now, but also kind of teasing that we will be playing new music. So, yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that. Okay. Well, we are almost out of time. Is there anything that you want to talk about in our last few minutes? Anything you want to like promote here?
Yeah. I would say like, We're still announcing openers. Definitely, if I'm playing in a city and I haven't announced an opener, please send an application in as well. But even if I have announced an opener, please send an application as well, because maybe there's still ways to get involved in that show, even if we have announced the opener. Still excited to kind of connect and meet as many, you know, Indigenous and First Nations kind of artists across the country, and just kind of share insight. Like, I think that has been kind of the biggest thing is, like, I just remember learning guitar in the bush with no electricity and not having any idea how to start a music career. So I think part of this isn't just about like sharing a stage and you know, pumping people up on socials, and it is about kind of just sharing insight and sharing knowledge and doing as much as I can to kind of provide any advice or like help I can get people to get to where they're trying to get to.
That's amazing. And I'm very, very excited to see what the future holds for you. And I wish you the best on this tour. Thank you so much for being here and chatting with me. It's been really nice.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Gigi.
Woke up in the graveyard, picked up the gun and raised it against my head. Oh, big are the bruises wounded around my chest. I tasted my own blood, picked up my heart, I gave it for you to rest. And I thought I could do it, but I'm sick of running, and I'm sick of being strong now, and I'm leaving town. If God had a boat, I would sail it for you.
Promise to stay, don't give you enough to grow? I've been walking through the same chaos. Did I give you enough to go? So let me hold you like you're the old you. 'Cause you've been holding on to me like somebody else. So when it falls through, am I there? Am I holding you? Or am I holding a place for somebody else? Are you laughing? Are you crying? Is it hard to catch your breath? Does he get that same smile from when we met? I've been humming down these empty halls, sung the writing on the wall. Do we know our song's ending when we let go of it all? So let me hold you like you're the old you. 'Cause you've been holding on to me like somebody. Somebody else. So when it falls through, am I there? Am I holding you? Or am I holding a place for somebody else?
All right, and we're back. That was Somebody Else by Ace and Abby. And honestly, I think that's probably one of my favorite songs by him, if not my favorite song. And I was so glad that we got to talk about that in the interview. Yeah, so I hope you all enjoyed that interview. I was so, so delighted and very, very honored to be able to have that conversation with him. It was just very, very nice. Anyways, we're going to go into some of the music that I've chosen to play today linked to the interview. So right before Somebody Else, we had CB with Yoi, and that is their new single. And CB is like really, really cool. I cannot believe that I've never heard of them. They are a Montreal-based queer indigenous pop singer-songwriter. Their voice is absolutely like amazing, and they have really good lyrics, and it's just a lot of fun. And they are opening at the Montreal show with Anima Aura, who was right before with If God Had a Boat. And she is also a local artist. She's very good at like blending more traditional indigenous style music with like pop and like disco and EDM sort of vibes. And it's really, really good. And I like her lyrics, too. They're very, like, poignant. Anyways, that is the little set. So anyone who wants to go get tickets to go listen to all of those incredible musicians, you should go buy tickets at Evenco. It's, again, the show is at Le Studio TD on February 20th. It's going to be smashing. It's going to be amazing. And like he said, in the interview, he's going to have, like, a full band. So I just think that it's going to be absolutely incredible because I think that's just going to be really, really awesome. I strongly recommend you go buy your tickets. Okay, I am rambling here, so we're gonna jump right back in. I don't know if I'm going to have time to come back because I have a few songs I want to play. So this first song is Nomads by Ace and Abby. And again, this is off of his debut album, Watin. And I played this because we talked about all the interludes with his grandfather, which is such a special moment that I'm very, very grateful that he shared with all of us. It's very impactful, and one of my favorite interludes from his grandfather in this album is at the end of Nomads, where he asks, "What is your name?" And it's like a very powerful moment that happens at the end of this very, very powerful song. So that's why I chose this. Then One of These Days by Amanda Rioum, who is one of the founding members of Ishkade Records and one of the people who opened the door for Ace and Abby. And then Tennessee Whiskey by Chris Stapleton and Pain and Misery by the Teskey Brothers, because we talked about what makes music timeless, and he mentioned both of their names. And I really like those songs. I gotta say, they're pretty timeless. So yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. Please stay warm. It is super cold out there. Make sure that you have lots of soup and chili and tea. And don't get sick. Whatever's going around is not fun. I had it this week. Do not recommend. I'm so glad that I was able to do this. Okay. I'm rambling. Here's the music. Here's Ace and Abby. And I might come back and talk. Well, who knows? Okay, bye.
Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Grandfather, did we flip the scripture? Grandfather, I think we flipped the script. I'm sure I was gone.
It's been for an hour steady until the our dead people come to us.
spend my nights out in the ballroom. Liquor was the only love I'd known. But you rescued me from reaching for the bottom and brought me back, being too far gone. You're as smooth as Tennessee whiskey.
First lay my eyes on you. Love is a crazy game, baby. It's how I feel. Can make you roar so high that it takes so long to heal. Sometimes I curse that day when you came along. I was happy, but it's been pain now for so very long. Oh, I'm begging you, honey, please, won't you stay? 'Cause I've been so lonely since you've gone away. Every day is pain. In the end, it's hard to see. Every painful day is all so sad. Now that I've lost the best friend that I've ever had, stay.